You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome along to the midweek edition of The Punt. We've got five Premier League games to cover across the midweek. Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, we've got Premier League action to come. Sam Norris here in the presenter's chair, and joining me for a look through the betting on all five midweek games is Mr. Dave Kellner. How are you, Dave?
I'm very well, thank you. It's good to have a bit of midweek Premier League football to get our teeth stuck into, and thankfully, Derek McGovern's not on this podcast, so we might have some winners. No, I jest, of course. It would be good to have Derek and Tom with us as well, but they're contractually obliged just to do the weekend punt podcast. So I'm going to hopefully step into those big shoes and fill them on this edition of the podcast.
Hopefully so. It was a weekend, really, DK, that was dominated by the FA Cup more than anything. The Premier League sort of took a bit of a backseat this weekend, given that we had two thrilling contests in the FA Cup surrounding four of the biggest sides, Chelsea getting the better of Spurs, and of course Arsenal squeezing past Manchester City on Sunday. Anything to take out of either of those semi-finals?
I think the first of the two semi-finals between Chelsea and Spurs was high quality, and technically the better of the two games. Arsenal were resolute. Yeah. And I think a lot of people going into the weekend thought they would fold quickly in that match against Manchester City when pressurised, but that didn't happen. Manchester City took the lead, and afterwards the players talked about doing it for the manager and all the sort of spiel you would expect following that comeback win. So, yeah, big weekend for Arsene Wenger, big weekend for Arsenal, and I think Spurs maybe still with a little bit to learn. I know they dominated that game and had a 70-minute spell where they were very much on top, but Chelsea allow teams to dictate like that because they want to sit back, soak up pressure and hit on the counter-attack. And a couple of moments of brilliance, but the one that broke Spurs' resolve was the Eden Hazard strike.
Yes.
And Antonio Conte making those couple of changes and bringing on Diego Costa and Eden Hazard clearly changed the game. And I think even though N'Golo Kante has been voted the PFA Player of the Year, I think that was either today or yesterday.
Yesterday, I believe.
I think if you ask Chelsea's players who's been the star of the show this season, they will say Eden Hazard.
Yeah.
And I think he's been the star player in the Premier League. It's an area in which I agree with Derek McGovern. He's been saying on the Punt podcast all year, Hazard is the star of the Chelsea side. N'Golo Kante works hard, and he's more industrious than that. I'm not just saying he's just a workhorse.
You're not happy to see a defensive player finally celebrated in the end of season awards, because it traditionally goes to a flair player who creates goals and scores goals. I know that is in essence what football is about, but you're not happy to see a defensive minded player rewarded?
No, I'm not.
I am,
because you just said it's football's all about attacking flair. Yeah. The ability to create chances at a moment's notice and score wonderful goals. It's not about a man that can hack away at opposition players for 45, 50 minutes of every single match and then maybe show a couple of glimpses of brilliance in the final third. It's about a player that should be celebrated for whenever N'Golo Kante touches the ball. I'm not thinking, wow, I wonder what's coming here.
Yeah, sure.
I'm thinking there's going to be a sideways pass here and to set up Chelsea's counter-attack.
Yeah.
I'm being harsh on N'Golo Kante here, but when Eden Hazard gets the ball, you're thinking, I might see something special in the next 90 seconds. And that's what football's all about.
That is true. We start this week then with the champions elect Chelsea. They're in action at home on Tuesday night, taking on Southampton. Chelsea in the betting at 2-5. The draw here is 7-2. Southampton are 7-1. A couple of enhanced odds offers on this one. Diego Costa to score in a Chelsea win was 11-10. That's now 6-5. And Manolo Gagliardini to score in a Southampton win, that was 11-1. And that's been pushed out to 14-1. A Southampton side with seemingly very little to play for. DK, they're currently in ninth position and will probably finish either ninth or tenth, you would have thought, this season. And Chelsea can deal a real hammer blow to Spurs with victory here, because Spurs have just been creeping a little bit closer in the league of late. But given that Chelsea beat them at the weekend, 3 points here would would pile it on Maurizio Pochettino's men.
Yeah, I think this would be... This is one of those matches. Chelsea have got such an easy run in.
Yeah.
You look at who Chelsea have got left to play this season. These next two matches are going to decide the title to a certain extent. Are going to decide whether Spurs can get back in the title hunt. Because they've got Southampton at home. Then they travel to Goodison to take on Everton. Everton have been very good at Goodison, but not away from home this season. So that's a potential stumbling block for Chelsea. But after that, they've got Middlesbrough at home. They travel to West Brom, who've completely checked out.
Yeah.
Then they've got Watford at home, who are abysmal. Sunderland at home, who are awful as well.
Yeah.
And then just that FA Cup final. So if Chelsea can get through the next two matches with 4 points... they've won the title, as far as I'm concerned. And they are a short price to win this game. They had been stumbling prior to that result against Spurs in the FA Cup. I think not only did that deal Spurs a blow in terms of knocking them out of the FA Cup, psychologically, I think that was a huge result for Antonio Conte's men. I'd suggest both teams will score in this game, though. Chelsea have looked vulnerable defensively in the last couple of months. And you look at both teams to score in the match, 21-20, it's odds against both teams to score, which I think is a good bet. Chelsea, in their last, they've conceded in each of their last 10 Premier League games. That's the first time they've done that since 1996,
right,
back in December, when they went 13 games conceding. And Southampton have improved form away from home recently as well. They've got positive results recently away from home, they're saying. If you look at their last six games, it's been feast or famine, really. They beat West Brom away, beat Watford away, hammered Sunderland away in the Premier League as well, went to Spurs and got a goal in that 2-1 loss at White Hart Lane. And that's, I mean, Spurs have been sensational at home recently, so that's not even that bad a result. They went 2-0 up and got one back there. So I think both teams to score at 21-20 is a very, very good price here. I'll be interested to see what team Conte selects as well, because he made some big changes for that FA Cup match. Left Diego Costa and Eden Hazard out. And I know Diego Costa, with all his managers in his career, they've always had kind of a tempestuous relationship. Mm. And I think that shows no signs of abating with Antonio Conte, really. And it was interesting that when Eden Hazard scored that fifth goal of the game, Costa almost made a point of over celebrating with Eden Hazard, as if to say, you brought us 2-1, and this is what's happened.
Sure.
Which I found interesting. So I wonder whether he's going to start in this game instead of Michy Batshuayi. He's actually gone 5 without a goal in the Premier League now, which is his longest goalless streak in the league since he went 6 games without scoring with Atletico Madrid back in late 2012, early 2013. Right. So it's a bit of a barren spell for Diego Costa. So I think he will play in this game. The thing I like about Southampton is Claude Puel has gone with a 4-2-3-1 recently. And I think Aurel Romeo, who he's talked about in the same sentence as N'Golo Kanté season, he's really made a statement publicly that Romeo is a mid-20-year-old who's going places,
right,
and who's going to be a real force to be reckoned with. And he was fantastic, I thought, in the cup final, the EFL Cup final against Manchester United. He dominated that game, lots of energy, good distribution in the centre of the park as well. So he's actually made more tackles and interceptions per game than anyone else in the Southampton squad this season. So he's been key and pivotal to them. I think Southampton will play well in this game. Whether they've got enough to beat Chelsea, I'm not so sure. The prices, though, I'm looking at Chelsea and thinking, do I want to bat them at 2-5 here?
Yeah.
I don't really. And that's why I think both teams to score in the game is a good bet. Chelsea, mention that stat, look unsettled defensively at the moment, not as strong as they were at the midpoint of the season. So both teams to score here at 21-20 looks good to me.
Yeah, I like that. If you want to combine both teams to score with a Chelsea win. That's available at 12-5 in the betting. The score draw is 9-2, and a Southampton score win is 10-1. But DK going with the BTTS in at Chelsea versus Southampton on Tuesday. Let's go to Wednesday night's fixtures. Then we begin with the 8 o'clock game, which is the televised fixture. Crystal Palace taking on Tottenham Hotspur, who look the chief and perhaps only danger to Chelsea now at the top of the league. Palace are 9-2 here, 13-5 for the draw. Spurs are 4-6. Two enhanced odds offers for this one. Christian Benteke to score in a Crystal Palace win. That was 7-1. It's now 8-1. And Harry Kane to score in a Spurs win was 7-5. Now 6-4. This is first versus fourth in the form table, DK. And Crystal Palace have picked up some really big wins recently against good opposition. They've beaten Chelsea, Arsenal and Liverpool in recent times. This is a serious potential banana skin for Spurs, who will know their fate in a way, given that Chelsea play 24 hours before. But it's going to be no mean feat going to Palace and walking away with 3 points.
It all depends, I think, what side Sam Allardyce selects, because he talked after that result against Liverpool, in which they were very, very good, about resting players for the weekend home game against Burnley. Now, I'm looking at the Premier League table. They've got 38 points. They're 7 points clear of Swansea, who are in that third from bottom relegation spot, and thinking, there's no way on God's green earth that Crystal Palace are going to go down.
Yeah.
I think they are safe now. And to suggest that he's going to rest players in this game, I don't know if he's already started playing tricks with Mauricio Pochettino and Spurs, but I can't see it. I think they'll want to continue that fine form. I know they have really found form in the last 6 weeks under Sam Allardyce. You referenced the form league table, as it were. But they've never really been in trouble this season, despite the narrative being Sam Allardyce comes to a club and saves another Premier League side, rescues them. The shortest price they've been for relegation this season was 11-4.
Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. So that's not by any means a desperate situation at any point this season. And you look at the players they've got in that squad as well. There is some real talent in that team. We've seen in the last 2 months, Wilfred Zaha raises levels. Andros Townsend has those little purple patches where you think, Maybe he could be very good, Andros Townsend. Sure. Then he'll go away for 4 or 5 months. They've got Johan Kabay pulling the strings in the centre of midfield, Jason Puncheon as well, and they've got potentially one of the Premier League's best strikers in Christian Benteke. Yeah. He showed in that game against Liverpool he can bully the opposition's defence, was strong in the air against Dejan Lovren, scored twice in the game, is in great goal-scoring form at the moment. If he fancies it, and he's on song, one of the Premier League's best strikers. So I hope Sam Allardyce fields a full-strength side for this game, because it's a London derby, and there's a chance to take pretty much condemn Spurs to second place in the table here.
Yep.
I wouldn't want to back Spurs at 4-6 if Sam Allardyce does play a full-strength side. I think team news is so important here. If he rests players, they haven't got the strength in depth Palace to compete with Spurs, who are fantastic. Let's take nothing away from Spurs, the way they've performed this season. They've been brilliant recently.
Best footballing side in the country.
Yeah, and I was talking to a few of my friends about Spurs as a team. You think about that starting 11, who would you take out? You know, if you think about, not if you've got like a fantasy 11, but who let Spurs down badly in that starting 11? Who would you replace in that starting 11?
Very, very few players, I must admit.
Jan Vertonghen, maybe.
I think him and Alderweireld together.
You think just think Jan Vertonghen's lacking that yard of pace now and is maybe a step behind. But you've got
Danny Rose
on the left, Kyle Walker on the right.
Yeah,
you can't think of many better left-backs and right-backs in the country. You've got Victor Wanyama and Moussa Dembele as your holding midfield players.
Yeah.
Both brilliant. Dembele is seriously underrated. Yeah. He's just powerful, strong, distributes the ball well, quick as well. Then you've got Heung-Min Son, who's been good. Yeah. Admittedly, he's not always a start. He's more of a fringe player.
Yeah.
You've got Christian Eriksen and Dele Alli. And then you've got Harry Kane.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no real weakness in that Spurs side, and if they can keep the core together for next season and add a few squad players. Still got Eric Lamella to come back into the team as well at some point as one of those squad players.
Yeah.
Kieran Trippier, who has been a brilliant in the absence of either Rose or Walker, whichever. He can play on both sides, yeah. Trippier. So I think they are set for next season. It's just whether or not they can... it's whether or not Chelsea slip up now, really.
Yeah.
And if they do, Spurs will take advantage. But they've won 7 successive league games since the end of February, which is Pochettino's best ever winning run as a manager in the league as well. And they were probably the better of the two sides at Wembley.
Yeah, definitely.
Even though I think that's slightly overplayed, because you can look better the better the two sides when you're playing Chelsea.
Sure.
But they don't want to dominate possession. They're not a team that are like Spurs that are going to sustain waves and waves of pressure. They want to allow you to come onto them, then hit you quickly on the counter-attack.
Yeah.
And that's what they did in that game at the weekend. I'm filling here because I'm not sure what's going to happen in this match, in all honesty. I think you've got to look at Harry Kane to score, and you've got to look at Christian Benteke to score in the game, because Spurs might concede away from home. Even if this was at home, I'd be less... I'd suggest it's a lot less likely that Crystal Palace will get on the score sheet. But Kane has been fantastic. I mean, he failed to score in his first 3 Premier League appearances in the season.
Yeah.
In 2016-2017 campaign. Since then, he's got 20-21 for Spurs. So 10-11 Kane to score at any time. And Benteke to score at any time. I think coming off the back of that brace against Liverpool...
Yeah.
21-10 to score any time. I think they're both good bets.
If you want to double the pair up as well, we do have any time goal scorers doubled available on the William Hill website. And Harry Kane and Christian Benteke, both to register any time, is available at 5-1 if you fancy that for the Palace Spurs game on Wednesday. We go to some of the non-televised fixtures now on Wednesday evening, starting at the Emirates with Arsenal taking on Leicester. It's 4-7 for Arsenal here, 16-5 about the draw. Leicester are 9-2, 2 enhanced odds offers here. Alexis Sanchez to score in an Arsenal win, that was 5-4, it's now 11-8. And Jamie Vardy to score in a Leicester win, that was 13-2, it's now 15-2. Arsenal obviously made their way through to yet another FA Cup final at the weekend, DK. But I sense that those Wenger out boo boys, the pressure on Arsene Wenger won't have relented one iota, despite the fact that they've made it through to another FA Cup final. And given that this is their game in hand on Manchester United and Manchester City, I would say that this still remains a vital must-win game for Arsenal.
Definitely, yeah. I can understand the Arsenal fans, their reservations to thinking that Arsene Wenger is going to get another 2 years in charge here, because it's not about FA Cup football anymore for the Arsenal fans. They've seen FA Cup success,
yep,
in the last decade. What they've not had is a sustained run in the Champions League or a challenge for the Premier League title. Last year, I suppose, was one which got away with Leicester,
yeah,
winning the title.
But if there was ever a year for Arsenal to do it, it was surely last year.
Yeah, I think so. And that team doesn't look that strong at the moment.
Mm.
They have suffered in the league recently. They're down in seventh place in the table. And even though they've got 3 games in hand on Everton, this is not the season that fans or, I think, management envisaged at Arsenal. And they look too short here at 4-7 to win this game against a rejuvenated Leicester,
yeah,
side. And you could say Leicester have got little to play for, given that they've got a couple of games in hand on Swansea, who are in that final relegation spot, and they're already 6 points clear ahead of Swansea as well. So they're going to survive Leicester City, but it's all about price, and at 9-2, I think they're a big price,
yeah,
to win this game, Leicester. Craig Shakespeare's clearly auditioning for the job on a permanent basis at the moment, and there's little doubt the players have been performing for him. The response after going out of the Champions League is going to be interesting, but they were good in that second half against Atletico Madrid. I know they went out and Madrid were still comfortable in that game, but got that second half goal. Jamie Vardy got the second half goal, and they dominated in that second half. I think he's galvanised the players, and that's... I'm not being detrimental to the job that Claudio Ranieri had done there, but they'd clearly checked out, hadn't they?
Yeah.
Really. And I think they've got... The way they're set up, you'd think, would suit... This is a game that would suit them. Being able to sit back and then try and counter on Arsenal, giving Arsenal all the possession, then hit them with pace on the break. But the stat, all my stats come from Opta, by the way, that you hear on this podcast. But the one that's most interesting is Leicester are actually 20 games without a win against Arsenal in the Premier League. They have drawn 7 of those, but they've lost 13. Their only win against the Gunners came in their first ever Premier League encounter, which was back in November 1994 when they won 2-1. And Arsenal have actually won each of their last 9 Premier League home games against Leicester, which is their longest run against a team in the Premier League. But I'm still going against them here.
Yeah.
Because I think they're playing with little confidence, and the result against City papered over the cracks. I think if that was a game against any other side in the top five, so any other side apart from City, Chelsea, Tottenham, Liverpool or Manchester United at the weekend, they would have lost that game.
Right, okay.
But because it was against City, and City don't have that steel this season, they found a way back into the match. So I'm going with Leicester City to win the game at 9-2, Jamie Vardy to score in the match as well. I think the best bet is Vardy to score in this game.
Yeah.
He's in fantastic goal scoring form at the moment. He's 7-4 to score any time. And he loves playing against Arsenal. Got a really good record against them. He scored Leicester's last 3 goals against Arsenal in the Premier League, and he's opened the scoring twice as well. So 7-1 he is to score first in the game. Yet to end on the winning side in one of these matches. So I'll go with Vardy to score first at 7-1, Vardy to score any time at 7-4. Those are my 2 favourite bets, and have a little look at Leicester to win the game as well.
Okay, yeah, it's a nice matchup as well, Jamie Vardy against those centre-halves from Arsenal, who we know are far from blessed with pace.
Yes.
So it's an attractive matchup.
It should be perfect for Leicester, the way the game sets up, because they'll give Arsenal all the possession. Arsenal will pass the ball neatly around in midfield, and Leicester will lump that ball over the top to Vardy, which they did so successfully last season, and it should work against her. Well, we saw one long ball over the top at the weekend undo Arsenal when they committed too many players forward and got stung by Sergio Aguero. By the way, Petr Cech was very slow off his line there.
Yeah.
That was a heavy first touch from Aguero. I thought Cech's going to close this down, and Aguero still got there first. So I like Vardy in this matchup, and I think 7-4 anytime, 7-1 first are good bets.
Jamie Vardy then to get on the score sheet in that Arsenal versus Leicester game. One more game to come on Wednesday evening, and this features two sides currently occupying the bottom 2 positions in the Premier League. It's Middlesbrough versus Sunderland. Borough in the betting at 5-4. The draw is 23-10, and Sunderland are priced up at 11-5 for this one. A couple of enhanced odds: Alvaro Negredo to score in a Middlesbrough win, that was 5-2, it's now 11-4, and Jermaine Defoe to score in a Sunderland win, that was 4-1, it's now 5-1. I know both these sides have got games in hand on the teams above them, and some might try and bill this one as a relegation 6-pointer, DK. For me, given the form that Hull and Swansea are in, this pair look condemned already, and I think anyone who tries to describe this one as a relegation dogfight is being a little bit too kind on these two sides, who look, to my eye, booked to Championship football next year.
Reflected in the betting as well. Relegation betting, Sunderland 1-200 to go down, Middlesbrough 1-100 to go down. I think that says
it
all.
That's about right, I think.
This is done. There's not much to say about these two sides.
Yeah.
They're both appalling, in all honesty. Middlesbrough might even be worse than Sunderland. There's only 3 points between them, but having watched them at the weekend, they were embarrassed by Bournemouth. It was always going to be tough for them, given they conceded inside the opening 2 minutes and let Josh King get that early goal. And then Gaston Ramirez showed a lack of professionalism, getting himself sent off inside the opening 20 there, firstly for a dive, and then he lunged in on Mark Pugh. So he deserved to get sent off, and their modus operandi all season, Middlesbrough, has been to frustrate the opposition and try and grind out a point by drawing 0-0. So when they go a goal down early, they don't know what to do.
Mm.
And they went on the attack against Bournemouth and were punished severely at the weekend. The last win in the Premier League, Middlesbrough, came on the 17th of December. So a run of 16 Premier League games without winning now. I think Steve Agnew will be fully focused on the performance of his defence for this game on Wednesday night. I actually think they might keep a clean sheet in this game, Middlesbrough.
Right.
So that's where I'm heading for a bet here. They've kept clean sheets this season at the Riverside against Burnley, Everton, Leicester, Swansea, Hull and Bournemouth at home. So at the Riverside, they've been strong. Did concede four at the weekend. But then again, they conceded four against Hull. Next game, kept a clean sheet against Burnley. So when they concede a few, all Agnew's focus in those practice games,
yeah,
and training sessions will be to shore them up defensively. They're 17-10 to keep a clean sheet in the match, Middlesbrough, which I like. And Sunderland away from home, they've failed to score in four of their last five away games. They're so heavily reliant on Jermaine Defoe. When he goes through a barren spell, yeah, they don't score. And Defoe's last Premier League goal came 8 games ago now. That was when he scored twice against Crystal Palace back on the 4th of February. He has been their only shining light in what's been a deep and dark abyss for Sunderland this season. So I think both teams to score, no, I think is about 19-20. I'd be slightly more adventurous here.
Yeah.
And I'd go with Middlesbrough to keep a clean sheet at 17-10. But both teams to score, no, is a good option at 19-20. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if the game finished 0-0. Despite both of these two teams needing to win, they will know they are doomed anyway.
Yeah.
So the 0-0 draw at 17-2, I think is okay. But I'll go with Middlesbrough to keep this clean sheet at 17-10 as my main bet here.
Okay, Borough to keep clean sheet then. The main selection in that North East derby on Wednesday night, Borough versus Sunderland. The final game in midweek then comes up on Thursday night, and it could be a cracker as well. Manchester City take on Manchester United. It's 10-11 for City, 5-2 for the draw, 3-1 for Manchester United. The enhanced odds here, Sergio Aguero to score in a Manchester City win. That was 13-8, it's now 7-4. Marcus Rashford to score in a Manchester United win. That was 11-2. It's now been pushed out to 13-2. For weeks, DK, we've been saying, Manchester United's best chance of Champions League football is by winning the Europa League. All of a sudden, there's only a point between themselves and the top four. And this could be a really good way into the Champions League for them if they could finish in the top four. Just mentally, if they were to finish above Manchester City as well, and what that would do for the confidence around the place. They have lost Zlatan Ibrahimovic, which will be a big blow for them, but they come into this playing more assured football, I think, than Manchester City, and all of a sudden the Premier League is right back on the agenda for Manchester United.
Yeah, I think it is. They're 6-4 to finish in the top four now. They're 5-6 to win the Europa League. So the Europa League, from a betting perspective, still the most likely entry point into the Champions League next season. But I think Liverpool are the team that are shaking at the top slightly. That result against Crystal Palace really brings Manchester United back into the mix, because they're only 3 points behind Liverpool and they've got a couple of games in hand as well. So if they get a positive result at Manchester City, they will hold their destiny in their own hands, Manchester United. And I think the prices are maybe skewed too heavily in City's favour here at odds on 10-11. I wouldn't be a backer of Manchester City at 10-11. Manchester United, by the way, I mentioned this stat on the weekend podcast, I believe. I'll mention it again here. They're now unbeaten in 23 successive Premier League games, and if they avoid defeat in this match, they'll equal their longest ever unbeaten run in the top flight in a single season, which was 24 back in 2010 and 2011. And no team that's gone 22 or more games unbeaten in a Premier League season has failed to win the title in that campaign as well. Wow. So it just shows you how many draws Manchester United have had this season. And at home as well, these two sides actually have drawn more home games than any other sides in the Premier League. Yeah, Manchester United have drawn 9 at Old Trafford in the Premier League this season, whereas City have drawn 6. So that's really held the two teams back that are playing on Thursday night. And the great thing about this is it's Pep Guardiola versus Jose Mourinho, and they've had many a battle when they were at Barca and Real Madrid respectively against each other. There's definitely no love lost between the two managers, so it'll be interesting to see if either one of them gets outthought tactically here. And because we're recording this on Monday, it The prices will change significantly, I think, before Thursday, based on team news. Sergio Aguero is a slight doubt. He came off in that FA Cup match against Arsenal the weekend, but subsequently he's done a Puma advertisement. And
right.
In that Puma ad, he held his boots up and he said, "I can't wait to get these on for the Manchester Derby."
Right, okay.
So some people are suggesting that means he's going to be fit for the Manchester Derby. Paul Pogba came off against Burnley
yep.
at the weekend. He's got a dead leg, apparently. So they're just trying to ascertain whether it's an accumulation of fatigue or if it's a serious injury that's going to keep him out of this match. You mentioned the absence of Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Still got long-term injuries to Phil Jones and Chris Smalling.
Marcus Rojo's
out. David Silva's definitely out for Manchester City. So team news is going to be vitally important in this match. So I would implore people thinking about betting on this one on Monday is just hang fire. Just wait until Thursday and see what happens with the team news. I think this is a more important... Robbie Savage mentioned this when I spoke to him earlier. He thinks this is a more important game for Pep Guardiola, and I think it is.
Yeah.
Because Manchester United still have the chance of Champions League football through the Europa League, whereas City only have this.
Yeah.
And Guardiola, at the start of the season, came in with a lot of work to do because he wanted to change City's entire philosophy and get them playing in a different style completely. Mourinho didn't want to do that. He just wanted to bring success back to Manchester United. So it's been a more difficult job for Pep Guardiola in certain aspects. But fourth place in the table, no trophies, is still a huge failure. And if they fall out of that, they're 1-8 to finish in the top four, so it's unlikely. But if they were to fall out of that top four, it would be seen as a disastrous season for Manchester City. He usually gets the better of this head-to-head, by the way, Guardiola. You look back through their history, they've met each other 18 times before. Mourinho's just won 4 of those 18 meetings. But one of them did come in that EFL Cup match back in October,
right,
in which United beat City by 1-0. If you're looking at goal scorers, if Sergio Aguero is fit, I'm not entirely sure why he's being marginalised or was being marginalised by Pep Guardiola when Gabriel Jesus came on the scene. Aguero was taking a back seat and there were questions about his future. He is still the best striker in the Premier League. I don't think that can be debated. Do you want to try?
No, probably not. But I'd argue that if you wanted to bet on a man to score week in, week out, I'd rather have Harry Kane than Sergio Aguero. Yeah, just purely given Sergio Aguero's injury record. And I think Harry Kane's a little bit more potent, but he doesn't do much else other than score. Whereas I think all round Aguero is a better striker. But I think goal scoring wise, Harry Kane would top it for me.
Yeah, that's a fair comment. But he has scored in 5 successive Premier League games now, Aguero.
Oh, he's no slouch.
For City.
That is for sure.
Yeah. And well-taken goal against Arsenal in the Cup at the weekend as well. Even money, I think, if
it's
he starts.
Bad.
I think that's an okay price. But I think Manchester United can grind out a draw here. I think it would be a microcosm of these two and their seasons to date if this ended up as a draw.
I think
it's a likely result. So 5-2, the draw. I think City are underpriced. Manchester United are about the right price. I think the draw's slightly overpriced. Seen loads of draws at home for both sides. And with Liverpool having slipped up against Crystal Palace, the draw is not a debilitating result for either of these two teams.
Yeah.
Get away with a point and then kick on for the end of the season. So I'm going with the draw at 5-2 as my favourite bet here.
Good stuff. A draw then in the Manchester Derby on Thursday night. Thank you very much for that, DK. Engaging stuff as always. Do you have a favourite bet in midweek?
Now you're asking. I think... Do I have a favourite? No, I don't.
No.
I'm going to go with no. I like them all equally.
They're not your children.
No, I don't. Yeah, I don't have a favourite bet. No, I'd say no. I wouldn't want to pick one out above any others.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much then, Dave Kelman's thoughts on the midweek Premier League football matches. Do go to the Audio Boom page and search for William Hill to listen to all of the William Hill podcasts in depth, and you can tune into William Hill's in-play radio throughout the course of the week, where the guys will have all the best in-play betting angles on all of the midweek Premier League games and indeed further afield. You've been listening to the Punt Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.